He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the weekend wrap show of the Best Stocks Now show. And we're going to take a look back, Barry, at this past week, which has been a pretty busy week in the market. We've seen some giddy moves in a lot of stocks. We've seen a tough week for Bitcoin. We've seen a big spending package that gets by the House. We had target prices out from Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo, on where they think that the S&P is headed next year. We saw new highs this past week, all-time highs in the NASDAQ and in the Dow, or the S&P, not the Dow. And I want to talk about some of those stocks of the week that really stood out this past week as we wind down earnings season. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, professional money manager for the last 21 years, writer, author of the Best Stocks Now newsletter for the last 21 years, which goes out to thousands of folks all across America. Late today or early tomorrow, we'll just see. There's quite a bit that still needs to be done. And Barry Kite.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. Longtime professional in the industry with expertise as a certified financial analyst looking at individual companies. We write about many of those on Seeking Alpha. And also the macro outlook, which we publish every week. We've been right since 2008 about the market and the macro outlook. Where is it headed now? What are we saying now? That's in our newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. We offer two free weeks of that. And I'm also the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app, which ranks 6,000 different stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs on a daily basis from 1 to 6,000. What is number one right now? So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. That's a good combination there, Barry, for you to help folks when they call in.
Yeah, and, help the Scrabble. Also, help the Scrabble as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I've got 21 years now in the business. I was an analyst. I never got the CFA designation. I was trained by a CFA in San Diego that wrote up a lot of research reports on San Diego companies, and I had the pleasure of working with him a little bit, and then I wrote some research reports of my own and traveled around America to several different publicly traded companies, writing up research reports, building those spreadsheets, looking out into the future, and predicting earnings estimates and growth rates and target prices and all that good stuff, which we still do today, but we do it for ourselves. And we do it for Seeking Alpha. We're pretty prolific writers for Seeking Alpha. In fact, we're one of the top-ranked duos or companies out there as far as the results of those stocks that we write about. And we have two fresh articles on Seeking Alpha within the last couple weeks. And, well, we'll try to get one or two out again this coming week. That's a short week, isn't it? Well, we'll try to get one out before Turkey Day.
Throwing around some ideas.
We'll try to get one out before Wednesday. Well, we had quite an active week in the markets this past week. The market has been going up since 2009. I know I sound like a broken record, but that's the fact of the matter. And anybody who's been bearish over the last 12 years has been wrong. And, you know, how do you judge a good market analyst? Well, often are they right? You don't really want to follow people that have been wrong all this time because they've missed out on one of the biggest moves the market's ever made. Back in 2009, you had an S&P around 660. Yeah, you remember that? That was during the financial crisis. That was March.
Low was the day before. Low was the day before my birthday. I think it was March 9th.
Yeah.
I think it hit the vaunted 667 mark. And
yeah. And I hope you woke up after the day after your birthday and said, "I'm going all in with guns blazing."
Right.
Well, you know what? I did. I wasn't too far off from the bottom of that market, and I called the massive buy signal. And it was based on earnings expectations finally bottoming out and starting to nudge their way higher. Now, if you don't learn anything else from today's show, and if you don't learn anything else from the daily show that we do here, we're on Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with a live show. And we spend several hours in the morning before the show so that we have all what we, you know, we cherry pick what we think are the best stories out there, the best stock stories, new IPOs, electric vehicle breakthroughs, whatever it is. And we do that daily show. And the name of the show is Best Stocks Now. That's another common theme that runs through the show and the app, Best Stocks Now, the newsletter, Best Stocks Now. But if you don't learn anything else from today's show and our daily shows, is that stocks and indexes follow not only earnings, but earnings are looking backwards. More importantly, they follow earnings expectations. And now that this current earnings season, which was Q3 2021, is basically over, and we're already looking ahead to the next earnings season, which will begin in early January, we now have a very good feel from the individual companies, all 500 of them, or 496, something like that, not only of where they think their earnings will be this year, 2021, but next year, they're giving out, you know, guidance to analysts for 2022. But the market is now looking ahead to 2023 earnings estimates. That's right. The individual investor makes a big mistake. They're looking at yesterday, last week, today's action in a stock, today's action in the NASDAQ, tomorrow's action in the S&P 500. But the market is looking ahead a couple of years. That's what you've got to learn to do. You can't look at NVIDIA and how it's doing today. You've got to try to project where it will be 2 years from now. And Barry, I mean, that's what a chartered financial analyst, that's kind of the bottom line of what it's all about, no? I mean, predicting the future based on numbers?
Right. Yeah. You, I mean, on a daily basis, right? And you know, you're doing it on, you know, sometimes on a minute by minute basis. You're,
yeah,
you know, you've got all this information out there. Where, you know, we've, you know, run it through, you know, our analysis, right? And you know, you get a picture of the future, and then of course that picture is always, you know, rewriting itself based on
almost
those new inputs, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, one piece of where we're at or where we think we will be, right, can change, you know, like you said, change on a daily basis.
Yep.
Which makes the case more, in our opinion, for being active instead of passive.
Okay, so here's the bottom line takeaway. The market has been going up since 2009. The simple reason is that the earnings for the S&P 500 have been going up every year, except for the COVID year. Have been going up every year, and the market has followed those earnings higher. We've gone from $53 a share in earnings in 2009. We're going to come in at about $202 per share this year, and that market has followed those earnings right along. Now, the key to all of this is where are the earnings expectations for next year and the year after that? Earnings are not going to go up forever. The last time earnings started to trickle downwards was in 2007 and expectations. And that was the precursor to the big 08-09 S&P 500 53% sell-off. And for that reason, I've been a market timer on big cycles, not on daily moves in the market and little secondary moves in the market, but on those earnings estimates, and when those earnings estimates fluctuate, when they zig, the market zag, the market follows right along with those expectations. So this week's newsletter, I will be publishing. I've got my pencil really sharp today. I will be publishing my latest earnings estimates for next year, 2022, right?
It's going by fast. I actually messed it up a couple of days ago.
I
was like 2021. I mean, we've blown through 2021. Woo. It's been a quick one.
And the estimates, even more importantly now, for 2023 and our target price for the S&P 500. And you can get that. You know, this only goes out to our clients and our live trading subscribers, which we have many, but we offer 2 free weeks. To those listening today at 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com.
Are you a diehard?
Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. We're talking about the very best indicator in the market going forward. Technical indicators are important. Usually signs of trouble first show up in the charts of these indexes and stocks. And I look at probably 1,000 charts a day. I have for the last 21 years. But having said that, it will eventually be earnings that will cause the market to start, topping out and starting to roll over and start going down. Now, I'm a survivor of the 2000.com bubble, where we saw the NASDAQ go down 80%. Many of those stocks never came back. We don't want that to happen to us again. And there's a lot of similarities, I got to be honest, between today's market and that dot-com bubble, but, you know, it's a few asset classes out there that are very bubblicious right now. I'm also a survivor of the 08-09 S&P 500, 53% drop in the market. Now, if you're young, I mean, you can survive something like that, come back to play another day, but if, you know, you're retired or nearing retirement, you got to kind of watch out for something like that. And that's why I'm on top of those earnings estimates constantly, weekly, several times per week. And I publish them in my newsletter every single weekend. And, you know, just looking back, we've been right about the market since 2008. And what are we saying right now? Well, I can tell you what a couple of our competitors are saying right now. We heard this past week from Morgan Stanley. Their target price for next year for the S&P 500 is 4,400. Okay, and we've currently got an S&P that's at 4,700. In fact, they said in their thesis report, they said to avoid stocks and bonds next year. Wells Fargo, on the other hand, has a target price of 5,300 for the S&P 500 next year. That's based on $235 in earnings, and we calculated that they got to be using a multiple almost at 22 to get that. Well, we disagree with both Morgan Stanley and Wells Fargo. Our target price is in the newsletter this week, okay? We do a lot of work. We take a lot of pride in that macro outlook. And you can get 2 free weeks of our newsletter by going to GundersonCapital.com. My app, Best Stocks Now app, also ranks 6,000 different stocks, indexes, mutual funds, ETFs. And I publish my ranking every week on the S&P 500. The Dow and the NASDAQ, and that ranking can range anywhere from a strong buy down to a short. Okay, we'll describe what a short is in just a minute, but suffice it to say that our indicators, the calculations that my app calculates on different stocks and whatnot, we publish also the current rankings on those three all-important indexes every week, because we really, you know, we want to make as much hay while the sun is shining in the market, but we also want to look for those signs, you know, that things are getting expensive, you know, the market may be getting in trouble, because we don't want to see, you know, our clients. Now, it could happen overnight. Who knows? There could be some big massive world event that we have no protection for. But as far as the recessions and the expansions go, you know, we can kind of follow along, and we're constantly getting updates on the economy. We have earnings season four times a year, so we follow that very, very closely. Okay, let's just look back at this past week real quickly. And then there's a couple of major warnings on the market today. And then there, again, we had Wells Fargo put out a $5,300 target price earlier this week. The Dow, you know, is pretty close to a new all-time high. It's the oil stocks have been a little shaky recently, and the financials didn't have a good week. But that Dow is close to 36,000. That seems like maybe some resistance there right now. We saw a new high on the S&P 500 this past week as it broke through 4,700. And it, what was it, 670 back in 2009? Now you're at 4,700. You would have been getting our newsletter. You would have been riding this thing all along with your IRA, your 401k, your Roth, whatever. And the NASDAQ, which is very close, I think it's above 16,000 right now, also saw a new high. We saw, we did a show, I think, on Wednesday talking about Rivian ridiculousness. The recent IPO of Rivian, you know, the very next day, Rivian had a bigger market cap than Volkswagen, which sold 9 million cars last year. Rivian sold about 100 cars so far. We talked about the extreme multiple on Lucid Motors, or the market cap. Lucid is basically a brand new startup with a few new cars that they'll be selling. It already has a bigger market cap than Ford. Okay, do you think that's justified? Well, we saw the Staples Center changing to the Crypto.com Center, which is another sign of the times. A lot of weakness in the crypto and Bitcoin this past week. We saw India, in fact, ban Bitcoin as a currency. They call Bitcoin a Ponzi scheme. We saw the House pass a $2.5 trillion spending package, and Barry, as a CFP, you'll be going through. Now, it has to get by the Senate. That's questionable with Manchin and Sinema out there. But there's some major tax changes involved in that. Now, it's not law yet, but as a CFP, you've obviously got to stay on top of any tax changes. And, you know, we saw these target prices come out from Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo. Now, I saw, interestingly enough, today, Bill Ackman is pretty well known. He's Pershing. He's the hedge fund billionaire of Pershing Capital. He says we're in a classic bubble, which is spurred by the Fed. Okay, now that's Bill Ackman, and that would be reminiscent of 2000 with the dot-com bubble, because those low interest rates that the Fed has maintained has allowed that multiple in the market to expand to a giddy height. And any kind of increase in interest rates, whether the market does it or whether the Fed does it, could rein in that multiple. Another guy from Absolute Return Partners, he says that Wall Street right now reminds him of the bloodbath of the Japanese markets in the 1990s. And then there's a third guy today, John Malone, who's very well known in the media sector. He says the stock market has become a land rush, just like the dot-com bubble. Okay. That's why it's so important to stay on top of the macro outlook. You know, I've also updated all of our portfolios in the newsletter this week. You can see what we currently own, what we're buying, what we're selling, how we've done. But the major thing in there is the market outlook. You get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of this week's Best Stocks Now weekly wrap show. For me, the stocks of the week this past week, Barry, NVIDIA had a monster earnings report on Thursday. We own NVIDIA. We believe that NVIDIA and AMD are the stars in the semiconductor sector. I'd have to throw in a couple of retail stocks that had a monster week. Macy's, surprising everybody. TJ Maxx, you just can't keep people from going to the bricks and mortar mall and having some fun doing a little shopping. Home Depot had a monster report this past week.
Lowe.
And it's hard to not say anything about Apple, which is hitting a new all-time high, at $2.5 trillion. And Amazon is closing in on another new all-time high. All right, now I want to talk about, Barry, our fire escape strategy.
Right.
When things, okay, now when I was in San Diego, where I grew up and was there for almost 60 years, and then moved to Charleston, South Carolina, where I really enjoy myself, I was in a 20-story building. My headquarters and Gunderson Capital Management was headquartered on the 19th floor of the AT&T building in downtown San Diego. It looked over the whole the harbor, the ocean. I could see clear to Mexico. It was a beautiful, beautiful office that I loved. I had a great conference room there. And at lunchtime, I used to do the stairs three times, all the way down, all the way up, 60 flights of stairs every single working day for the most part. But about every 2 months, we would have a fire drill for that building when the alarms would go off, and we'd have, you couldn't, the elevators didn't work. We had to take the stairs. And when we got outside on the lawn, we had to report to our, you know, captain of our floor and whatnot, and they took a roll and everything. So we had a fire escape plan if such a building like that. We didn't want to become a towering inferno, but we had a couple earthquakes while I was in that building, and it was a little scary. It swayed pretty good up on that 19th floor, where you feel it a little more than you do on the first floor. Okay, so having said that, well, we're 90% invested right now, maybe 85 to 90% in the market. And we've been riding it for all it's worth, you know, basically since 09. And at some point, however, I think there's something to be said for some of these guys that have been around a long time, even longer than I have. I've been in it for 21 years. The market's not going to go up forever. There's going to be another recession. There's going to be another bear market. Okay, that's just the way it is. The market is cyclical. The economy is cyclical. Now, Barry, you've watched me manage money now for several years. Just explain to the folks out there what we kind of do on a daily basis and weekly basis to also have our eyeballs in the rearview mirror and watch for that bear creeping up. What kind of action will we take?
Right. Well, you hit it on earlier. The technical indicators are going to kind of give you that view first off, and of course our first defense is always cash.
Yep.
So in terms of, you know, getting out of some positions, and we know when you're looking at a portfolio, we know which positions are the most sensitive to market risk.
Yep.
And a lot of times those are some of the names that will come off the table first, and the initial move is to cash. And then, of course, you know, the second line of defense is your inverse ETF market, which has gotten much more you know, aged more, you know, matured much, you know, much
it's
more
than robust,
it was in 08-09,
and a lot
right?
more choices today.
And in 08-09, you know, if you wanted to have, you know, inverse, you know, funds that just came out, if you wanted to have those, you essentially had to buy them at the market open, and you had to get rid of them before the market closed.
Yeah, they
otherwise,
didn't work very well.
Right, they didn't work well at all after market. So we've got a lot more tools in the toolbox in terms of sidestepping the market during those down times than that were out there, you know, just say a decade ago.
Yeah, well, obviously, number one, I mean, if you're going into let's just go. Morgan Stanley says they don't like stocks or bonds next year. Okay. you know, I don't like bonds in a rising interest rate environment, which we don't have yet. But at some point, we will have a rising interest rate environment. Now, you can hold your bonds to maturity, but you can hedge a bond portfolio with an inverse treasury portfolio. I particularly like the inverse junk bond ETF, which, you know, is very sensitive to the riskier part of the bond market. That could come in very handy. We do run a bond fund. It's small, but we have some of the people's safe money in that. Now, when we get up into our growth funds, where we're trying to own the very best growth stocks in today's world, and it ain't IBM, and it's not AT&T, no. It's the NVIDIAs of the world and the Apples and the Amazon. I mean, it's a whole new world out there. And there's new players coming on all the time. Look at Tesla now, a $1 trillion company. It's crossing that line back and forth now daily almost. It's a whole new game of best stocks now out there. But having said that, you know, those stocks are also the most vulnerable when the market just like you don't want to own bonds in a rising interest rate environment, you don't want to own stocks when the economy is going into a recession. And more importantly, when earnings for the S&P 500 have topped out, which they haven't done yet, they're going to hit a new high this year at $203 per share, up from $53 in 2009. But where do they go from here? Now, if all of a sudden I saw earnings estimates start to ratchet down and go under $200 for the next year or next 2 years, man, I'd start taking some evasive action very, very quickly. But an inverse fund, which you described, well, let's go back to cash. I have a line in the sand. You know, I mean, look, sometimes you wake up and a stock's down 40%. There's bad news. Now, that probably is not going to happen to an Amazon or an Apple or, you know, one of the big ones, Microsoft. Instead, they're going to kind of get eaten away. They're going to start to roll over, we call it, roll over, and starting to look down below, look out below. And, you know, so that's where we have, like, lines drawn on our charts and support levels. And if they start breaking support levels, you know, we're not an automatic 7 or 8% Investors Daily recommends. You know, we're probably more in the 15% range when the alarms really start going off. I start getting really, really, really nervous. We're not going to let them go a whole lot further than that. On those lines in the sand. So, you know, I manage every individual position every day. I don't think there's any such thing as, I'm selling everything out of the market tomorrow, and then I'm going to get back in a week from now. No, I manage my positions, and I look at them every day. Between all of our clients, we own about just over 100 positions right now. Well, that doesn't take long to flip through those every single day. Just like a doctor goes up and checks his patients on floor number 3 in the hospital, I check on my holdings and make sure they're healthy. And if I see something, I sold one yesterday. I sold a very large position yesterday. We'd made 68% on it in the premier growth portfolio. I just don't like it. It looks to me like it's sick. And it's in an industry that is a little bit shaky right now because a lot of people are moving away from companies like this, and so I just decided it was time to let it go. So I manage the individual positions. Obviously, when you sell a position, you got cash. And, you know, in an orderly sell-off in the market, we would have a high level of cash fairly quickly as I sell my individual positions. Then, you know, it's been my experience, the market can go down a whole heck of a lot faster than it goes up. And once it starts breaking those support levels, you got to watch that downside really quickly, because it can get really bad, really ugly, really quickly, especially if there's events in the world that are making it, you know, that much more problematic. Then we employ some inverse funds along the way. Simply, they go the opposite way. So the opposite of the Dow is dog. If you think that the market's going to get clobbered, you know, dog goes the other way. Put your money where your mouth is. Now, we wait for the market to start to roll over and the erosion to begin to happen. And on the S&P, the opposite of the S&P is SH, and the opposite of the NASDAQ is PSQ. They have an inverse relationship. They go up when the market goes down. What's our macro call on the market right now? What do we own? What are we buying? What are we selling? GundersonCapital.com. Check out this week's newsletter, 2 free weeks, GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back for the final segment of today's show. Bill-
you got to go the way you want to go. Do what you want to do.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Now, in this final segment, I want to talk about four concepts here. Active versus passive. We're going to have Barry describe that in a minute. And also, you know, I'm a fee-based manager, okay? I charge a fee for managing portfolios, and we don't do anything commission-based. Barry is our financial planner that most people go through initially to try to determine what's appropriate for them. And then there's a lot of do-it-yourselfers out there that, you know, I created all these tools for, I share the tools that I created for myself. I write the newsletter every Friday. It's basically for me. It's my internal research. It forces me down all of the tributaries of the market and the economy so that I have a good feel for it. I want to be very vigilant because, you know, the market's a little heady right now. And I don't want to give back these gains that we've harvested over the last 12, 13 years, you know. At some point in time, it's going to be time to protect the harvest. Now, the do-it-yourselfer, I offer my newsletter out to them. I have a, you know, you can just get the basic newsletter, or I have a live trading version where every time I make a buy or a sell within those six portfolios that I manage, you get an alert, you know, which portfolio I'm buying or selling in. And there's just a lot of people that enjoy it and like doing it themselves. And the people that hire us for fee-based, it's because they don't have the time to be looking and making changes and being on top of the market. Now, talk just a little bit, Barry. I mean, you've been in the industry a long time. Active versus passive management.
Yes, and I think, you know, when we talk passive, a lot of folks, you know, ETFs come to mind, indexing, SPY being an example of an S&P 500 index. You know, Vanguard comes to mind, right, in terms of a big indexer. And the point there is, you know, essentially you're purchasing the index, and the index, you know, you're going to ride the wave, right, whichever way it goes. And then, you know, then you also get into, you know, I think active. Right, and I would add another being unconstrained. You know, the second one, active, would be, you know, an active manager who's, you know, might have a particular mandate. You take Kathy Wood, for instance, where she is. You know, she's in that one particular space, is making moves there. You take, you know, Fidelity Contra Fund, which, you know, over the years is a, you know, monster mutual fund, right? They're, you know, mainly kind of stayed in that large growth space. They're making those buys and sells. And then, but they're all of them, you know, really have to stay to their mandate, where if you're, you know, a lot of those will have to remain at least, say, 80% invested. So no matter what, if they see, tidal wave coming, train coming down the track, they can only sidestep it only so much. Versus you take that one step further and being unconstrained. Well, essentially, if you needed to go to cash or thought it was important to go to Cashville, you could go 100% to cash if you wanted to. You don't have a prospectus. You don't have something that requires you to remain invested. So, in other words, you have the ability to do, kind of what we feel is in the best interest of our clients, versus, being constrained by some, document or mandate, if you will.
Yeah, go where you want to go, do what you want. And,
it's a perfect song for it. Yeah,
I can put in inverse ETFs if I need to. I was introduced to inverse ETFs many years ago by a rep from ProShares. They were on the cutting edge
they were big on it.
They were adding them to variable annuities, which I really like that idea, because now you had, inside of a variable annuity.
Oh, yeah, tax-deferred type. Moving tax-deferred, kind of like the same thing with inside an IRA.
Yes, and I was able to protect and use those inverse funds in extreme. I use them in extreme conditions. If the market starts to fall apart, I'll put in just a small position just in case. And if the market starts to really start to spiral downwards, I'll increase that position. And actually, I think there's going to be some money-making opportunities in some of the areas where I see insanity in the market right now. I know those areas, they're ridiculously priced right now. They're going to come unraveled at some point. It's not going to be pretty. We've compared them to bubbles, balloons, puffer fish. A puffer fish will puff up and then he'll deflate. And that's going to happen to some of these areas of the market. Now, they can continue to inflate right now. God bless them. We're watching them. We own some of them. Not the really highfalutin stuff. But eventually it comes back to valuations. And that's got to happen. So, if you're following along as a do-it-yourselfer, you're going to hear from me. You hear from me all the time. I have my show every day. I have my alerts that go out maybe 7, 6, 5 every single day to my live trading subscribers. That's $89 a month. You get my newsletter every week. And it's exactly what I'm doing as a professional money manager. And if you don't have the time, you say, I want somebody watching over this who's in it every day. I've likened myself to a fishing guide who's in the water every day. These guys that fish around me in Charleston and are guides, they have such a big advantage over me because they're on the water every day. I go out there as a weekend warrior, try to do my best, but these guys are dialed in to the tides and the currents and what they're eating and what color and what time of day. And, I spend 10 hours a day in the market every day, and I have a big advantage over the guy who's trying to do it and work and raise kids or whatever. So anyways, that's our story. We're sticking to it. If you would like to get 2 weeks of the newsletter, that only goes out to clients and live trading subscribers, but I offer 2 weeks at GundersonCapital.com. We're pretty proud of the results that we've achieved in those portfolios that we run. And also our macro call on the market right now. That's critical right now. And if you'd like to talk to us about managing money for you at Gunderson Capital, you can call us at 855-611-BEST. We have a toll-free number. We manage money for people literally all over the country. And my newsletter goes out. I haven't ever figured out how many different countries we're in. It goes out all over the world. Thousands and thousands of newsletters every Friday evening or first thing Monday morning. GundersonCapital.com, Gunderson, S-O-N, capital.com, or call us at 855-611-BEST and find out what we're all about. Hey, have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.